Hey, Bill, I have the best t-shirt ever. Make America bigger again. You can get this at cdmstore.net for our audience, but I thought I'd show that to you and start the show off that way. So we're brought to you by the Georgia Record. Welcome to the Georgia Show. Happy New Year. And we are off to the races. A lot going on, and we're going to try to plow through a lot of information today. GeorgiaRecord.com. Please sign up for our no-ad subscriptions. Please support us that way. It helps us continue to grow. I talked about a partnership in Europe today. So there's just so much going on with CDM right now. It's kind of insane, but there's so much hunger for truthful news that we are it. And we, there's some other news organizations that are not doing so well, but we're doing fantastic. So we're very excited, and it's going to be a great year. So please help us out. Sign up for our no ad subscriptions. You can get all of our content with no ads. Please also sign up for our social media, CDM1 Rumble. X channels growing nicely. We're streaming on multiple X channels now, and we're going to continue growing. And Bill, welcome to the show. But tell us what you got put together today.
Well, first, I'm still reeling from the t-shirt announcement. That looks great. Now, I assume it comes in multiple sizes because, of course, yes. It would have to, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I've had a request to somehow put the Panama Canal on there somewhere. So.
I saw the current trend being referred to as the doctrine this morning, in case we don't know how big this is going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got a number of different moving parts this week, and as usual, but a lot of it has to do with this dynamic going on internationally with Trump. Looking at other pieces of the world. And attempting to, or talking about potentially bringing them under the American tent. So that should be fascinating. We'll hear from Trudeau, who announced this week that he will be leaving. We're also going to look at some of the implications of this in terms of the landmass and what the alignments might mean. Trump made a statement regarding the Panama Canal that I thought folks need to hear. There's been mixed reviews about, well, why is he talking about the Panama Canal? What difference does it make and so forth? Well, like many things, Trump seems to know a lot more than many. And there are reasons why this would be important and maybe strategic for us to look at. We'll also talk about some of the odd things that are coming out, both with these fires in California, the announcement of directed energy weapons, again, that has been speculated in, you know, in past months and very frankly, some years ago. There's new news on that. And, some things going on here in Georgia that begin to uncover how folks like George Soros and others may have had influence over people that have been creating maybe some of the challenges that people have seen. And at the very least, it bears exploration. And luckily, we've got some researchers out there that have uncovered it. So we'll cover that. And then the last couple of things for the day. So plenty. We have a full plate, as we often do. So there we go.
Yeah. So let's jump right in. I'm going to turn the mic over to you and let you roll with it.
All right. Well, let's hear from Trudeau. As he came out and told people he was going to be leaving.
I've also had a chance to reflect and have had long talks with my family about our future. Throughout the course of my career, any success I have personally achieved has been because of their support and with their encouragement. So last night over dinner, I told my kids about the decision that I'm sharing with you today. I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister, after the party selects its next leader through a robust, nationwide, competitive process.
So as he was going through this, there was a gnawing at the back of my head. And I thought, you know, patterns. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Kamala talked about she was announcing that she was going to step into the candidacy? How did she begin that conversation? Well, I think it was, I told my kids over Sunday breakfast.
Yeah.
And all I could think to myself is, isn't that interesting that they come up with this? Well, I had to go to my family first. You know, it's the first thing you do is go to your kids and say, should I, you know, leave the country?
Yeah.
So, so I just found it interesting. You know, there's this sort of odd patterning in things that seem to recur. And we'll point a couple more of those out before we're done tonight. But
yeah, you know, the thing that jumped out at me is, you know, it reminded me of the Gladiator when he says, you're going to see your kids, but not yet. He's going to resign, but not yet. So if he wanted to resign, he would resign, but he's going to stay on and try to cling on and, you know, try to influence policy and do whatever nefarious activities he can do over the next several months, whenever that ends.
It looked like from his announcement that it was going to be at least until, I guess, March, or until they could make some sort of selection. But who knows? I mean, we're going to have to keep our eyeballs on it. Look at what's happened with Obama. He seems to have kept fingers in the pie for, you know, now more than 4 years. So,
yeah.
In response to, you know, to Trudeau's announcement, Trump posted this, oh, Canada. So how do you interpret that? Well, I don't know, but clearly he's in the middle of it as usual. One of the things that came up too is he began talking about Greenland and the fact that Greenland might be an opportunity for a purchase. Mm-hmm. In other words, right now Denmark technically owns Greenland, but apparently we are spending some money in some ways to protect it. I don't know how important it is to Greenland, but he seems to think it's valuable. And it was fascinating to watch the process where he said this, and then the next thing you know, he's got his son Don Jr. on a plane going over there to visit it. And here's Don Jr. coming in and landing in Greenland. I'm going to flip over to something that I found pretty fascinating. We're going to flip inside the plane, and this is the view from inside the cockpit.
This looks like the runway Santa Claus would land at.
Fairly fascinating that they've got a Trump bobblehead on the dash of the 757, but maybe predictable in the grand scheme of things. You just have to look at this stuff and enjoy it.
Well, that's why there's 60,000 people plus in Greenland, you know, about the size of Augusta, if that. And, you know, so I don't know who they're paying. Do they pay Denmark? Do they pay the people? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know. I haven't seen any analysis on that yet, because people at first were speculating that it was just a musing that he had and wasn't serious, but it now appears to be quite serious. He was Don Jr. and he had Charlie Kirk with him in the plane. They were met at the airport by some press and some residents. People seemed to stick out the welcome hand and seemed to be pleased to have them there. I mean, think about it. Is Alaska better off being part of the U.S. compared to what it would have been if it were not? I bet you could make the argument that it probably is. And we don't yet know what the motivation is here, but I'm willing to stand back and wait for it to emerge. I bet there is one.
Well, I think it's national security and minerals and natural resources. You know, I spent a lot of time up in the Arctic in the Air Force, and there's Thule Air Force Base up there, and it's definitely strategic, and it makes sense. Definitely, you know, it makes more sense to me than Canada. The Panama Canal and Greenland makes sense to me. Canada, I don't know, but we'll see.
Interesting. Well, we'll see. I happened across an interesting set of posts on Twitter that I wanted to build on and share for folks. I found it rather fascinating, and it goes back to the fact that you got to be careful what assumptions you make when you're looking at any of this, because what we see often may be, we may think we're looking at one thing, but we may actually be looking at something and it may appear different than it is in reality. So here's a picture. Most people have seen it. They probably saw it all the way through school. It's a picture of the world. And it shows Greenland up here at the top, and it looks pretty darn big. We talked about this earlier, but when you actually look up the square mile area of Greenland, you find out that it's 836,000 square miles. Well, that sounds pretty darn big. Most people haven't looked at what the United States square mileage is. But when you do, you find out that the USA is 3.8 million square miles. Now, that does include Alaska, which is a chunk of that. But still, when you look at it on a map, it looks like, well, Greenland should be, boy, as big as the U.S. and maybe part of Canada combined. But it's really not. What is interesting is if we take a step back and we talk about the U.S. combining with Canada, I saw an analysis earlier today that said that would, those two combined would equal the largest country on the planet at the moment, and would add substantially to the U.S. defense budget. We are actually already spending a fair amount in protecting Canada as it is. I understand from other sources that we do training and other things for part of their military, and we trade stuff back and forth. But it is interesting that we would, again, ascend to the largest country on the planet simply by adding Canada. And that's before we get to, you know, Greenland or any of the others. So I think we'll learn more as we go forward. I think it's important for folks to make sure they're getting the real facts about what things mean, maybe the advantages that will come out. As you say, there could be military and strategic advantages. There may be something else we don't know. Maybe there's some things in Greenland we don't know about yet that somebody in you know, the Trump administration does. I guess we'll see.
Well, you definitely have a plan, so we'll see what it is. I want him to do what he said he was going to do in the campaign, which is deport everybody.
Yes.
So that's, you know, this bigger empire thing to me is coming out of left field, but we'll see. Maybe there's a strategic plan.
Or maybe. Before we move on, shall we hear from David Cross?
Yeah, please. David is our resident financial advisor. If you have a life-changing event, death, disability, divorce, sale of a business, call David. He knows what to do. He'll take care of you.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Back to you, Bill.
Okay. I wanted to let folks hear what Trump himself had to say regarding the Panama Canal, because I think it's, in terms of operations, I think it bears the easiest understanding in terms of its current situation and why it might be better served to be back under the control of the United States. So let me go ahead and play his comments regarding the Panama Canal.
Amazing. And we think we're going to do some really great things, really great things. We're being respected again all over the world. The Panama Canal is a disgrace, what took place at the Panama Canal. Jimmy Carter gave it to them for $1, and they were supposed to treat us well. I thought it was a terrible thing to do. You know, it was the most expensive structure ever built in the history of our country, relatively. It would be the equivalent of substantially over $1 trillion today. We lost 38,000 people. Think of it, 38,000 people, they died from malaria, mosquitoes. They were unable to stop the mosquitoes. They paid people five times more to take the job. Many of those people died. We gave it away for a dollar. But the deal was that, you know, they have to treat us fairly. They don't treat us fairly. They charge more for our ships than they charge for ships of other countries. They charge more for our Navy than they charge for navies of other countries. They laugh at us because they think we're stupid, but we're not stupid anymore. So the Panama Canal is under discussion with them right now. They violated every aspect of the agreement, and they morally violated it also. And they want our help because it's leaking and not in good repair. and they want us to give $3 billion to help fix it. I said, well, why don't you get the money from China? Because China's basically taken it over. China's at both ends of the Panama Canal. China's running the Panama Canal. And they come to see this Biden, this guy who should never have been allowed even to run for president. Of course, she shouldn't have either, because that never happened. I had to be two people, not one. But they want $3 billion to fix the Panama Canal that's run by China and makes a lot of money, China. One of the most profitable structures ever built, because you have your ships lined up back to Florida, frankly, and they just keep going through. And
so it sounds as if there's some real operational reasons why that needs to be in consideration. Trump also commented on the situation in California. And so he is spoke of the situation in California. And when what was interesting was he admitted this thing with no water in the fire hydrants and, you know, no money in FEMA left to deal with anything, and talked about it basically being Gavin Newsom's choice. Could have done things that would have provided better water availability for California, failed to do it. And the fact that FEMA is in such disrepair, that's, of course, Biden. It is interesting. And Elon Musk had posted several videos showing what was going on during the fire. And then you actually hear in one of them a Rick Caruso, who is a apparently quite a wealthy real estate developer, noting that the fire departments are reporting there is no water in the fire hydrants to deal with this. And keep in mind, this is a place where fairly notable people live. Yeah. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Let me play this from Rick Caruso.
It goes out, obviously, to the people with their homes, and I'm watching the small businesses around us go up in flames. You know, this is people's livelihoods, so it's devastating. But what is most concerning to me is our first responders and our firefighters who are trying to battle this. There's no water in the Palisades. There's no water coming out of the fire hydrants. This is an absolute mismanagement by the city. It's not the firefighters' fault, but it's by the city. And I'm going to be very honest. We've got a mayor that's out of the country, and we've got a city that's burning, and there's no resources to put out fires. So if you look at your pictures, you don't see the firefighters there because there's nothing they can do. And it looks like we're in a third world country here. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of tough questions that we need to ask the mayor and the city council and our representatives and the county representatives. Why didn't you work to mitigate this? What was your brush mitigation program? I heard you earlier talking about it's been dry because there hasn't been rain. That's not the biggest problem here. The brush up in these hills that are controlled by the city and the county, I would bet you that if they haven't been handled, mitigated, pruned, removed for probably 30 or 40 years. This was a disaster waiting to happen. And what's predictable is preventable. And who's paying the price are all of these people in their homes and their businesses.
Interesting feedback.
Yeah, the point that he's making there, that Trump has gone after Newsom many times about the forestry management abomination that's going on. He just doesn't do it. So you have all this fuel that's just accumulated, and it's essentially just waiting to happen. I got an email from a friend of a friend today. Oh my God, I almost died. I left our house too late. Our entire hill was burning. I was driving through flames and ash and smoke, burning on both sides of the road. I couldn't see, and I wound up crashing my truck. I had to jump out and run through fire, flames, and embers. I barely made it. I'm grateful to be alive. So this is really serious crap that's going on out there to people.
It really is. It's interesting you bring that up, because shortly after the video I just played, Elon posted another one and said a friend had sent him this video. I mean, it looks like a war zone. And again, it has a strange and uncanny resemblance to what we saw in Lahaina. Now, we're not concluding that that's what's happened here, but there are some similarities. The mayor is said to have been traveling in, I believe, in Africa. And he noted that in many places the fire departments aren't there. Well, they can't be there without water because they're simply risking their lives. There's not much they can do with no water. So yeah. It is fascinating.
Both of these areas are in very beautiful areas of the world, very high value land. If you wanted to rebuild something and take over an area, what would you do? I mean, this, you know, if you were a globalist looking to just thievery property, you know, I mean, what would you do? You'd burn it.
Well, you could. Here's an interesting one, since you brought that up, and we were mentioning earlier that this is the place that notable people might live. Here's a note with James Woods making a comment about this, and he notes something else that, again, is it part of a pattern? A few months ago, some of the insurance companies canceled policies. He says all policies in our neighborhood about 4 months ago. Why would they do that 4 months before this were to happen?
Yeah.
You know, we, again, sitting here, we don't know, but patterns, it goes back to something that Don Jr. had said, I want to say August, September of last year. And he was talking about conspiracy theorists and how people have gotten to the point where they hardly ever use the term anymore because so many things people were being blamed as a conspiracy theorists for seem to be actually panning out and being proved true in some ways. And they said one of the things that conspiracy theorists have that some others don't have is recognition of patterns. So yeah. Are there patterns here that need recognition? It seems that they, at least that question's on the table at the moment.
So wow. Yeah, that's a story we need to follow, like we followed Lahaina when all more of that stuff came out about the satellite going over and all of that. If go back and look at our coverage, I mean, we were on that pretty good. I don't see any blue roofs there. Not yet,
but there was a post in Twitter today that people in other countries around the world are, in fact, using a plasticine, a type of skin to put on the roof that turns it bright blue, kind of like our background here on CDM. Hmm. So kind of interesting. Okay, so in that vein, let's stay in the conspiracy theory vein for a couple of minutes here. One of the things that came out through The Blaze is a report that, believe it or not, Mark Milley and certain factions of the military gave the order to use what are called directed energy weapons on personnel, people, rioters, back during both January 6th, but more importantly in a time before that, when we recall there was riots going on in Washington themselves. Let's hear this. We're going to listen to this very, very closely.
Coming up with these scoops regarding January 6th, do you have anything else that's coming up?
Yeah, pay very close attention to probably, I thought it was going to be out today, but we got a couple little things we got to clean up on a new article. And we know for a fact now that General Mark Milley, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff back under the previous Trump administration, we know that in June of 2020, during the riots in the Summer of Love here in D.C., he actually directed and ordered and authorized the use of both heat and sound directed energy weapons to be used against the protesters in that event. And we have the photography now to prove it, to back it up. And we're going to be coming out with that story tomorrow. And then we'll be launching a series off of that first article that will lead us to January 6th as well.
Which heat and sound, which would do what?
Well, there depends upon which switch is used. Hmm. It depends if they are using sound energy weapons. They can be super audible or they can be sub audible. If they're set to super audible, that's supposed to scare people away from a riot. If they're set to sub audible, it can make people go crazy in their head and force them into violence. They call those agitation weapons.
So I'm going to go back and I'm going to like rewind about 10 minutes ago when I said that I believe that January 6th was total entrapment by the United States government in order to weaponize their own agencies against their people. I'm just going to go ahead and rewind and I'm going to say that again. And I'm going to go ahead and double down on that at this point, Steve.
You probably have valid reasons to feel the way you feel.
When this first came out on Twitter, I did some very quick work to make sure I knew who I was looking at because it looked quite legitimate, but it seemed so fantastical that I thought I better check a couple of times. Again, the article did get published the following day in The Blaze. These folks, I believe, are on Vigilant or one of the other news things. But let's recap what they talked about because I think it's pretty important we understand this. I suspect in the coming days, we're going to see some documents that come out that begin to support some of these things. But they said there's multiple ways, multiple types of weapons here, sound and heat. And I suspect we're going to see things even beyond that. We're not talking about, at least they're not describing something with, you know, lasers coming out of the sky and causing people to do certain things. This is actually acting on the human body, as I understand it, and from what their article illustrates, in ways that can stop behavior, theoretically, cause fear, cause uncomfortableness, so people vacate an area. So you can imagine if you're standing in a particular area and they want you out, they can use a sound weapon, and we'll call it a weapon for in this conversation, that's so uncomfortable that it's meant to drive you from the area. One of the things I was able to do was capture a video from some of the reports that are coming out on this that gives you an idea. Now, you're not going to hear it at the volume you would if you were there, but it does give you a sense of what these folks on site would hear. Now that's drastically reduced in volume because of the way it was recorded, but it's also because some of it was overriding, I think, the capabilities of the microphone that was being used to record it. So you can imagine what that would be. If that was loud enough and you were standing in front of it, that would make it very uncomfortable to stay there. It can also cause, depending on how loud they get it, it can cause fear because it feels as if it's doing something to you.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I found it very curious that a few days ago, the CIA informant came out and was talking about the directed energy weapons that were used on the State Department and national security employees in foreign countries and embassies and causing medical issues. And I thought at the time, the timing of this is really weird. This story's been out there for years, and it just comes out now. And I thought, why would they be doing that now? And maybe it's tied to this in some manner that they were trying to get ahead of something.
Pattern recognition. That's why we should name the show that.
Yeah.
You'll recall too, I believe it was the embassy, I want to say, was it in Cuba. Where people were reporting illnesses, stomach illnesses, headaches, other things that couldn't be explained. And it now makes you wonder, were other things being used? Again, I expect that we're going to see some things come out in the coming days. But more importantly, it's important to understand what these things can do. Part of the article that has come out relates that depending on which type of weapon and at what level, at what power it's used, it can cause damage to organs. It can cause inability to control your body. It can affect your heartbeat and other things. And I expect we're going to hear even more devastating things that can be done. So these are not toys, and this is not an air horn that's being used on people. This is much, much more, I believe, nefarious than that, potentially. And I think we're going to unfortunately have to learn what this is. But again, it goes back to, you know, these things that people kind of poo-pooed as, well, that can't have happened in, you know, in Lahaina. That can't have happened in Paradise, California, where all the houses are burned, yet the trees are still standing. Mm-hmm. That can't be the solution. Well, you know, Occam's razor says with all things being equal, the simplest solution, the simplest answer to something is usually the right one. We're finding one here.
Speaking of health, this is the wellness company's ultimate spike detox formula. If you have somebody who's been vaccinated, consider putting them on this to kind of clean their blood. It is has natokinase and other very seriously developed percentages of different substances to help clean your blood. And so if you have somebody who is unfortunate enough to take the vax, maybe that's an option to kind of help them get past whatever long-term consequences that might bring. You can get that at twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM, 10% off. You can also look at the emergency medical kits, prepare yourself for your family and take care of your family healthy-wise going forward. So check this out.
Yep. Just for backup, we've reported in previous weeks that there are signals showing up that folks that had either had COVID or had one or more of these shots are exhibiting an excess in a number of different troubling health conditions, including cardiac arrest and subsequent death. So right. we're not trying to scare people, but it is important that, and we think it's a responsibility to fully inform folks so that they can take action. These things are simple to get, simple to take, and they help break down the spike proteins that are left behind either by the illness itself or by the shots or both. So,
yep.
Good stuff.
It's important to at least give yourself peace of mind that you're doing everything you can for your son or daughter or wife or whoever that maybe got vaccinated or took two or three of the shots. I mean, just give yourself some peace of mind that you're trying your best to clean their blood out from this long-term substance that can harm your body and your immune system and all of that.
That's right. We had a chat with someone in the family, and it felt as if it was the right thing to do, not because we're trying to prove someone's right and someone's wrong about their choices. That isn't it at this point. It's about taking reasonable precautions so that you don't have a negative result.
Right.
Let's go back on the international stage for a moment. One of the things that fascinated me today was this report from Trump, talking about even Zelensky is saying that now that Trump is involved, one, world leaders are monitoring what's going on and seem to be apparently in this statement falling in line. But at the very least, the possibility of peace in Ukraine is appears to be emerging. And if you recall, one of the things that Trump said during the campaign is he expected to make progress on peace and in bringing an end to the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, even maybe before the inauguration. Now, we're not saying today that that's happening that way, but just a positive statement at this stage is encouraging. And it's kind of like, gosh, what more positive things can we get here, and how fast can we get them? Reminds me of the old statement from years ago. You know, you're going to be so tired of winning, you won't be able to take any more winning.
It's really been fascinating the way these dominoes are falling. I really want to get rid of Macron. I mean, that's a big one. I think Zelensky will be solved in the near future, but we got to get rid of Macron in France and in the UK also.
Yep. And there's there are folks on the truth teller stage that are making, you know, fascinating statements about some of these folks too. We'll explore that in future shows. Okay. So we talked the other day on Sunday about the sequence.
Let me, before you move on, I just want to say, we are having an event in Westport, Connecticut, Tuesday night, the 14th, and it's on why Ukraine war must end immediately. And we're going to really dig into the cause of the war, what's behind it, what's going on in Ukraine. Myself and John Ritchie, who's an ex-CIA case officer who had time on the ground in Ukraine, I have a lot of experience there. We're going to have another guest, which we haven't named yet, is going to be there. It's going to be a fascinating event. Obviously, people in Georgia probably can't make this. If you can, come on up. if you're in the area right outside of New York. But if you can't, we have a live stream option. So if you go to cdm.press, top right corner, it says Stop Ukraine War Tour. Click on that and you can find this event, and their tickets are on the landing page. So we think it's going to be a fantastic, informative. If you've got kids in the military that we don't want them over there, this is something you should know so you can pass on to your neighbors and everything else and really understand what's happening in Ukraine. So check out the event.
That's great. That sounds like a lot of fun and a lot of good information. Okay, so we were moving on to one more thing to do with Trump, and that is we spoke on Sunday that one of the key dates that's coming up is a sentencing hearing that had been set by Judge Mershon in the quote-unquote hush money case that was brought in New York. And Trump has now filed this with the Supreme Court of the U.S., asking that any sentencing be stayed pending the outcome of Trump's appeal based on presidential immunity. So should that be granted, that would take the sentencing that's currently set for the 10th, 2 days from now, off the table until some point later on. Be fascinated to see what happens here. There's been times when the Supreme Court acted in an appropriate way, but surprised many people. The overturn of Roe v. Wade was an example. Some of the other things that have been passed down last year, the ruling on Chevron, case, mm-hmm. which opens the door for many agencies to be questioned whether they should even exist, and it takes away their power to what's called promulgate rules that have the force of law, and pushes that responsibility of forming law back to elected officials. We again reported on Vivek's conversation with Tucker regarding that, and it sounds like fully exercised, the result of that Chevron hearing could put a lot of things in question. Do agencies continue to exist? Do they exist in the structure they're in? Do they report differently? Do all their rules and regulations get changed? Do they evaporate? We don't know.
Yeah, Boebert was out big saying, let's get rid of the ATF. You know, so there's a lot of this can be coming, should be coming.
ATF, Department of Education seems to be almost I'll hesitate and not say given, but yeah. It sounds like many, many people question. One is the Department of Education doing its job and doing it well. Most people would say no, because they look at the results coming out of their own school.
Yeah, since that time. I mean, we grew up before that kind of in school. And since we got out of school, it's gone downhill.
That's right. You look at here in Georgia, and we used to have a higher rating for our students graduating from high school and so forth. And it seems to be like many states declining. Now they'll focus on certain things and say, "Oh, but this school is doing great." Well, there are some that are doing well, but there's a general malaise, if you will, across much of the
because it's a department of propaganda versus anything else. It's an indoctrination department, not an education department.
And many areas are led by superintendents that seem to have more DEI and such on their mind than creating real learning and real understanding. Critical thinking, as an example, seems to be missing almost entirely. So we will see how this appeal to the Supreme Court comes out. We'll help folks keep that on their radar. And we think that this hopefully will play out in a good way. We'll know within the next, we believe, 48 hours. Shall we hear from one of our?
Yeah, let me take that down for a second. Sure. We talked briefly about our new product, Nucleo, which is cellular nutrition at the cellular level. Everything, all the building blocks your cells need, and we're moving somewhat from preparedness into MAHA, into make everybody healthy again. That's going to be a big focus of ours. We partnered with John B. Wells on this. I'm going to run a quick commercial. Or not a commercial, 90 seconds from him on what this actually is.
I'm watching. watching my friends gain more and more weight. And then eventually I got to tell you, this is a little dark, but a bad diet literally killed my whole crew.
Wow.
Diabetes, a stroke. I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's like, you had a stroke? You're not even 50 years old. You guys got to quit eating this stuff. Your body knows what's what. You're not conscious of this. But that's why people will go to the refrigerator and they'll grab this and that and the other and put together this outrageously elaborate combination of foods. Your body's trying to reach balance. Unbeknownst to us, our bodies are always trying to reach homeostasis. You can't eat all of this stuff and expect to live a long time. And one thing led to another. And I went, you know, forget this. We're going to make our own product. So we partnered with one of the world's top three biochemists where nutrition-specific study is concerned. I said, all I want is the best nutritional and immune support product in the world. So we mix it in yogurt. It's a powder. I got a bag of it here. I keep one on the console all the time, you know, just so I can show people.
Yeah.
And it's a powder. Now, this is not candy. This is hardcore nutrition. And sugar is an enemy. And most people do not know that the reason these bellies are showing up on people all over the place, your body makes fat to store the toxins it can't get rid of. So it just puts them over here. But I can tell you this. You take this for 30 days and then lay off of it for 2 or 3 days, and you'll go, good grief, give me some more. Skin, nails, hair growing back. Cut yourself and it heals in half the time.
So that is not anything complicated. It's just basically the building blocks your body needs. So if you go to cdmnutrition.com, you can find out all about it, get on the subscription, save some money every month, and feel a lot better. I tell you, my wife used to go to stay up much later than I. Now we've swapped. I'm up late, getting up early because my energy level's way up. I've been on this for several weeks. So I highly recommend it. Back to you, my friend.
Okay. One of the things that supports all what John just spoke of is many of the statements coming from RFK Jr. I mean, he's talked so many times about the poor nutrition, the processed foods, highly processed foods that go into our kids and our families. And this just sounds like a good step away from that and towards something much better.
Yeah. Why not just give your body what it needs? Simple as that.
So the next thing we're going to talk about, I think, is going to blossom into a much bigger story. It is national in scope, but we're going to bring it down to Georgia level as we cover this. So yesterday, Pete Berniger, who is a very good friend of CDM and has done a lot of work with us, as you know, brought out a story tying together the connections between George Soros, an organization called Fair and Just Prosecution, a nonprofit. We've come to recognize nonprofits as potential sources and vectors for money flowing from one place to another. And talked about this being one of the key connections between George Soros and the ability to influence, maybe control in some cases, district attorneys all across the U.S. We've often talked about the number 70 as being the number of attorneys folks thought might have undue influence coming from Soros or one of his tides organizations or this organization, Fair and Just Prosecution. But now it turns out there are 95, and he even hinted there may be more as we delve deeper into this. Some are still active as district attorneys. Others have moved on to other things, either being unelected or taking some other position. But to describe this process, essentially Fair and Just Prosecution, as I understand it from Mr. Berniger's reporting, they go in and they, one, I believe, provide funding to be used by campaigns and other things. But in addition, they give talking points and thought leadership, if you will, and give these district attorneys sort of their way of presenting what they're going to do for their communities, except it's not coming from them in all cases, some of which is coming from Fair and Just Prosecution and their attorneys and their staff. And so they're telling the district attorneys, in some cases, what to post, what to say, what to write. And so you can see how that kind of influence seems bizarre. Now, add to that the fact that that these folks have been, some are still in their roles, but they are being coached to, in some cases, avoid prosecution. What have we seen in here in Georgia and across the country, especially in places like California and New York and others? They seem almost to avoid prosecuting real criminals at all costs. We see folks arrested for a violent crime and yet turned loose, and then they go commit a violent crime. Unfortunately, you know, right here in Georgia, the horrific and tragic death of Laken Riley, I believe, would be an example of that kind of, you know, an arrest, release, and, you know, and then there's a repeat of some kind.
Right.
And so we don't know whether that is tied directly to this as we stand here today. However, there is a list that has been released by Mr. Berninger where he lists these 95 by state. And so we're not going to shirk from that. We're going to talk about who he has found that seems to be tied into this. And before we get there, I'll also share that one of the things that fair and just prosecution apparently does with these folks is gets them to agree to a pledge to do things the way that they are espoused through fair and just prosecution. Now, keep in mind, district attorneys and most public officials have an oath they already take. What does that oath say? In most cases, it says that they are promised to support the U.S. Constitution, the Georgia State Constitution, and Georgia law. At least that's the way they typically read here in Georgia. There may be some exceptions, but that's almost always the case. This other pledge, what is this asking them to do? Is it asking them to bypass some of those promises that they've made in taking that job? We don't know yet, but I believe that open records requests are probably hours away from landing on desks across Georgia to ask exactly that and find out what have these folks been beholden to that may or may not be in line with the oaths that they promised to the people of Georgia.
I mean, that's borderline criminal. I mean, it's subversion, right?
It seems very, very concerning. Yes. Can we call it criminal? It's not our role to, you know, call something a crime. However, if it causes someone not to fulfill their oath, then I believe that would be a clear breach of their promise to their constituents, to the state, and very frankly, to the Constitution.
Well, their loyalty
and there should.
They swore an oath, and right? They're violating their oath, right?
And there should be ramifications for that.
Yeah.
Folks, it's interesting that folks have pointed that out in looking at some of the things that have already been done here in Georgia. The, you know, the inability, the unwillingness, the you know, the fact that we can't get certain evidence released when it is supposed to be released by certain members of the government community. Is that too an example of this? This kind of breach. We'll see.
But I suspect we'll see. It just reiterates the fact that the public, especially in Georgia, has to stay engaged. You know, we're not anywhere near done with this fight. And if you're not engaged, if you're back on the golf course, you're just wrong. You need to save the future for your grandchildren and get out there and work and just do whatever you can to be involved at the local level and make change in your jurisdiction.
That's exactly right. That's a perfect lead into something I'm going to talk about in just a moment that's going to happen on Monday of this coming week as well. So let's get down to brass tacks here. We're going to give you the people that are in this list, and we're going to give you an action item, please. For those that are used to doing open records requests, go to these, if these folks are in your area, or even if they're not, go to these folks, go to their offices, go to their counties, go to their districts. Ask for emails, texts, pledges, agreements, or any record that has the words fair and just prosecution associated with it. And I believe that within probably days, maybe a short number of weeks, we'll have a lot more information about what has been done with these particular district attorneys that may have been receiving some sort of influence from the Soros organization or organizations. And look where they are, where we've seen concern before. Gwinnett, DeKalb, Macon, the Western Judicial District, which is Athens. Athens, where Lake and Riley was killed, as an example.
And the bird flu has been developed.
And the bird flu. Douglas County and Augusta Judicial Circuit. Now, there may be more. Some of these, I will be open and say some of these folks, I believe two, may have already moved on from their district attorney role. But so, essentially, to me, that doesn't matter. If this influence was applied while they were in that role, then we should know it. And yep. They should be
called. And what other NGOs are out there doing the same thing?
That's right. They should be called to answer for it.
If we know one thing, we know that they have a layers of vectors. So hopefully this will open a can of worms.
That's right. And I think this is, as you said just a few moments ago, I think this is the beginning of a next phase, especially here in Georgia. We're aware, well, here's pictures of these six individuals that have been identified so far, by the way. So folks can pursue those open records requests and learn more as we go. On Monday of this coming week, we will have the first day of the next legislative session. On that day also, there is a press conference planned by Georgians for Truth. Those are the paper ballot, please, folks. And often show up to state election board meetings, and in this case on Monday, and we'll have a press conference to give an update as to their continued efforts to move Georgia away from mechanical electronic voting machines. They, Garland Favorito, and others are saying exactly what you just got through saying. This is not over. The folks that did whatever has been done probably still hanging around. More work needs to be done to find out more about that. But then in addition, we have to press for the right solution. Same day, you know, one day voting, same day calculation, paper ballots, hand filled out, hand calculation, and it can be done. It's actually quite easy, but they make it sound like, oh, no, it can't. And so you'll hear a lot of information on Monday. We'll be either simulcasting it or covering it on site, and we will see what information is shared during that press conference, and we'll have more on that after it occurs.
Well, you know, this is actually a huge story, Bill. The more I think about it, this Soros NGO story, we should put that on the Georgia Record and get this out, because this is important, and there needs to be more coverage put on it for sure.
I feel very fortunate that Peter Berniger, who's been doing the work on this along with his team, is such a good friend of CDM that I expect we'll get lots of information, and you know, we'll pursue it rigorously so that we can find out what's happened here in Georgia. Like everything else, it seems to be threads. You pull on a thread, and you untie something that's the next knot, and so we'll see what happens.
Wow.
I did want to spend just briefly, I won't go into the video right now, but I did want to spend briefly just a note on bird flu, because we've been talking about it consistently over the last, three, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
The first person to die from bird flu in the U.S. did, in fact, expire a couple days ago in Louisiana. I contacted and got some information back from the McCullough Institute and from Nick Hulcher. And we also saw reports from Dr. Peter McCullough. Here's the net. One gentleman has passed away after being diagnosed with bird flu. The actual cause of his death is not confirmed as yet that we've seen. Were there other factors? There is information that would suggest there were other factors in his health that may have contributed to this. Dr. McCullough, in our last interview, talked about he may have been exposed to birds that were already dead and perhaps contracted that way. It also is not clear what early precautions nor early treatment was given. And so until we know those facts and things like comorbidities and other things, their recommendation is continue to think about protecting yourself up front. He talks about the immune mist that the wellness company offers. In some cases, if all you have is saline, he talks about using one drop of iodine and saline and using that as a nasal mist. And you can, we will include on an article tomorrow on the Georgia Record, we'll include his video so that you folks can hear the recommendations directly. But I guess the call sign here is make sure you get the facts and still think early precautions, early treatment. And of the 66 folks that are that have been diagnosed as having bird flu, most of them are farm workers or were exposed to birds. The ones that got early treatment appear all to be doing well. This individual, we don't know the rest of the story yet. So that makes sense. Is that pretty clear, do you think?
Yeah, it is. And like you said, we'll reiterate this on the paper. But I think we're out of time, actually.
I think we are. As we said when we started, we got a full show tonight.
Definitely. And thank you for putting all that together. The information flow is spot on. And that's what we're known for. So we'll see you Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. We look forward to having another packed show. And check out Output every day from 10 to 12, Monday through Friday, as CDM grows. And we really appreciate your viewership. So thank you, and we'll see you next week.